WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number two of the program here on Tuesday morning. And it is January 28th, and I want to thank everybody for all the kind words on Facebook. I put up a post yesterday that I didn't even realize that I had passed the one-year anniversary of my kidney surgery, of them removing my kidney and curing me of kidney cancer. So it's been a year now. Seem to be doing okay with one kidney. I've got a nephrologist appointment on Thursday. But hopefully everything's still going well. Last time I went to the nephrologist, you know, they give you a readout of how your kidney function is doing. And the doctor was like, you're at 46% kidney function. I was like, what? Oh, no. He's like, no, That's good. You only have one, so 50% is the best you're going to do. Oh, okay. All right. And he's like, yeah, we're not going to get worried unless it, you know, dips below like 20% and you're doing fine. So hopefully that's still the case. But March is Kidney Cancer Awareness Month, and I will certainly be doing all that I can that month to help people keep up on their kidney health, both myself and Chris, because as you know, Chris has his issues as well. His was from his bout with COVID and not from cancer, but I think the fact that we've got two people here with those issues, it's definitely worth putting a focus on kidney health. It's something that you take for granted and something that you don't even think about until there's an issue. So, I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I do get concerned, especially as I'm, you know, giving Chris rides to dialysis. I'm getting concerned about, will that be me someday? Because before, I felt like, you know, if one goes down, I've got a spare. But now I don't have that option. So, and I'm trying to keep myself as, you know, kidney healthy as possible and as healthy as possible overall. But it's a challenge. Especially when who knows what's going to happen with the medicines that are on the market now. And certainly my weight loss journey is different than other people's weight loss journey. And maybe I don't need the medication anymore, but it's certainly made all the difference in the world, and it's made it so that who knows where I would have been if I was, you know, still almost 300 pounds and had undergone that surgery. It would have been a much harder recovery, that's for sure. And the more I think about it, the more I'm like, man, I can't believe I did that, and I did that alone. Like, I went home and everybody was like, do you want us to come over? And no, I'll be fine. I was like, I probably should have. Like, I was just one slip and fall away from busting open those stitches. Anyway, 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
How are you today?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm okay. Still looking around for eggs. You know, I didn't feel any earthquake yesterday, but I can cause an earthquake myself if I don't make a deal somewhere with eggs. This is very disturbing. Do you know any egg farmers locally around here that will give me a good deal?
I'm trying to think of who I know that puts them out for sale. I mean, I know if you go take a ride through Rochester, you'll probably find a bunch of people that have them out for, although I don't know, with the cold weather, people might not be putting them out in front of their house anymore.
Well, there was a man in Fairhaven, right on Route 6, that's almost, it's just before you get to where the old Xfinity cable was. And he had a sign out for rigs, and I used to go there, and he was a real cool guy. There was a sign, and he trusted everybody. He just said, go in the back, all the eggs are there, mm-hmm. leave your money, you know, right there, and just take the eggs you want. And he just trusted people to leave the money. And I was going there all the time, and I haven't seen that sign anymore, so I guess he's not around anymore. I don't know what happened. But and they were great eggs.
Well, you know, I would say there might be some listeners now who have some for sale or know where there are some for sale, so they can send us an app chat message or call in and let us know. I would say maybe...
They're not going to give me a better deal than the store.
I don't know. I think it all depends on, first of all, how much eggs they have, because, you know, they're not going to want to sit on them, no pun intended. But I think they also will... I think a lot of people understand that the prices are high in the store, and if they don't need they don't need to match that price. If they're charging $4 for a dozen eggs before, which is about what I've seen them for, by the way, you know, $4 for somebody's home eggs. If they were charging $4 before, they're probably still charging $4 now, maybe $5. But still,
that's not bad.
You're getting a better quality egg.
$7.99 at Walgreens. That's crazy. That is crazy.
I would say, I don't know for sure if there's any over here, but next time you're in Fairhaven, you know where the radio station is. And then
I think so.
The road behind that is David Drown Boulevard. And if you go down that road, it's like where Riccardi's is here in Fairhaven. If you go down that road and then you turn to go toward Job Lot, there's usually people that set up down there that are selling things. So if anybody has any eggs, they might be over there.
I know who you mean. I've seen them there in the summertime. And they sell corn, too, I think.
Yep.
And, they sell corn. Yeah, I know what you mean. So talk about being butthurt. Now you're a slave to counting those numbers every day. And you're pathetic. You know that?
No, I'll eventually forget. I'm not very good at remembering to do things.
You won't forget. You may cease for a little while, but you'll bring it back. It's bothering you so much counting the day. Listen, I put up for lots of years with Obama and then Biden, those miserable Nazis. So I put up with them, and I didn't count no days. That's kind of childish what you're doing.
It's not childish at all.
I enjoyed Carlos Felix yesterday. I'm sorry. That man deserves to be paid by WBSM. He needs to be paid.
Don't give him any ideas.
He needs to be paid by WBSM because he puts the stuff out. He doesn't have no reserve about nothing. He let the guy have it, and it was wonderful. And he needs to do it all the time. Because I'll tell you what, even WBSM, and I'm sorry, but even WBSM doesn't put out news like he does. He's right on the spot when there's a fire, when there's an accident. When there's a crooked...
Because we have other things to do during the day than drive around and chase down reports on the scanner.
So what? If he's going to bring the news for your station and your listeners, you guys need to write out a check. Okay?
Well, I'll be on... So if he's going to do that, I'd like him to take some courses in journalistic integrity and proper reporting procedures.
He does better than the journalist. He does better.
I don't agree.
See what I can do about that.
Carlos knows that I have problems with his methods. That's not anything new.
He knows you have a problem with what?
With his methods.
With his methods?
Yeah.
Those are the kind of methods we need. We're not going to just sit.
No, I've been on the scene with him and things where he doesn't respect the police line. He goes beyond the police line. There's procedures that have to be followed.
He's a real guy. Out real news, and now you're butthurt about that too.
I'm not butthurt about it.
Another slice of pizza. Go have another slice of pizza, and you'll be fine.
I'm not butthurt about what he does at all. It's a different stuff. We would never be able to do the things that he does because, you know, we're a publicly traded company that has rules to follow.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, I'm sorry. He puts it out there, and I enjoyed that call. And every time he calls up, I enjoy it. He doesn't call enough, if you ask me.
What are you going to do, though, because Brian Gomes wants to come in and tell his side of the story, we are going to, but we've got to figure out how to do that because he's going to lob some accusations against people that we have to make sure that, we're protected from. So,
well, the door does swing both ways. If that man wants to say things, let him say it, just like Carlos does.
It doesn't work that way. If you know somebody's going to come in and say it, you got to be proactive about it and making sure that you're not getting yourself in any kind of trouble.
Well, you know, you got to say something. I understand. I'll give that to you. I'll give it to you. But if Carlos ever stops calling, that your show will go down.
As an independent journalist, radio air quotes, Carlos doesn't have to follow the same rules and procedures that the rest of us do. But
that
doesn't mean that it's always right.
Freedom of speech. I'm glad the fact checkers are gone to hell where they all belong, where people can come back now and say whatever they need to say.
Well, of course, because you like to believe whatever you want to believe. You don't want actual facts. You just want whatever makes Mary feel like she's right.
No, I want real facts. Are you saying that Carlos doesn't put real facts out there?
No, I'm talking about fact checkers, because you said, thank God, fact checkers are gone.
Yes, because they were rotten commies, all of them. They were working for Biden behind the curtain.
Oh, my God.
The man behind the curtain, he's not behind that curtain anymore. It's wonderful, isn't it? Yeah.
I'm just shaking my head. All right.
Did you feel any of that earthquake?
I did not. No, I did not.
It wasn't very big.
I wouldn't mind
a real good thunderstorm, though. No earthquake, but I wouldn't mind a real nice, loud thunderstorm. When I was a kid, the thunder was loud. So I don't know what happened after all these years. We need a good thunderstorm.
Yeah, we get them now and then, but I definitely remember there being more in the past than we've had in recent years.
Mm. Okay, so what was the number today? Because I don't know if I heard you right. What was the number today?
1,453.
Yeah, you're marking it on your calendar, huh?
No, but that would help. I probably should get a calendar. That would help.
It makes you feel good to do that. It makes you feel great.
No, I do it because it makes the rest of you feel all ticked off.
No.
Because you're the ones that are butthurt that I'm counting down the number of days.
It makes you sound like a ninny.
I don't agree.
Well, I agree. Ninny.
All right. Well, of course you agree with yourself.
Hey, you're going to try that new soda. Don't forget that orange cream there. You try that.
Maybe. I tried that Coca-Cola spiced because they had the zero version. I didn't like that. It wasn't very good.
I don't really drink soda, but that orange cream. I used to like that orange cream popsicle.
I am a creamsicle fan, so I'm sure I will give it a try.
Aren't they delicious? And you can't eat just one. They say that about Lay's potato chips. I bet you can't just eat one. But I could eat two or three of those creamsicles. I haven't seen any good ones anywhere. Have you?
I don't know if they have. I know I found Fudgicles that are the Carb Smart. So I don't know if they have a Carb Smart creamsicle.
That's poison.
No.
We need Pony Boy. Remember Pony Boy? No, you wouldn't remember Pony Boy.
All right. I got to hold you there. I got another call.
You get my egg. You let me know.
I will. I might go lay a few for you myself.
Now I pictured it. I can't get that out of my mind now.
Okay.
Oh, bye-bye.
Have a good day. All right. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning. My name is Simone Bourgeois. I'm calling from CLAB, New Bedford Public Schools. And with regards to the seismic activities that we experienced yesterday, CLAB is fortunate enough to be one of the Boston College educational seismology program schools. Wow. So we have seismographs here at CLAB, and checking the seismograph this morning, the entire screen is viewed with very sharp waves indicating that we did have an earthquake, and it was approximately 3.8 on the Richter scale. So part of the New Bedford Public School philosophy is to try and introduce all types of interesting sciences that are not generally taught on the elementary level to all the fourth and fifth grade students in New Bedford Public Schools. So I just wanted you to be aware of that, Tim, because I know you've been very kind to CLAB and you've visited us before. And if I can get a photograph taken of our school of the screen, I will send it over to you.
That would be great. And even though the seismograph is in New Bedford, it still can measure how big it was at the epicenter, which was, you know, in Maine.
Yes. Our seismographs are purchased through Boston College Educational Applied Entomology Program. And even though we've had them now for about 18 years or so, they are very sensitive. They do they pick up any type of seismic activity worldwide, believe it or not, and definitely in the United States. So our screen fills up.
So how often do we get a seismological event here in this area? I mean, I know obviously, you know, an earthquake is going to be a little bit of a significant rating on the Richter scale, but we must have, you know, some shaking and rumbling that happens on a semi-frequent basis.
Well, yes, we do. But it's, if you were to look, if you were to take a pencil and draw several lines, in this general area, most of our activity is so minuscule that it would be just as if you're coloring in maybe an eighth of an inch on one of those lines. But when the screen fills up pretty full, so to speak, I usually go to check at Boston College Educational Seismology, the Weston Observatory, and it will indicate to me exactly where it's being, where it has occurred. And what we do with the students, at least during the summer session, is we pin all the seismic activity internationally on a world's map so that they are able to see that planet Earth, the crust of planet Earth is made up of plates. And so some slip inside, some underscore each other, some overscore each other, and some just rub back and forth. And in this case, New Bedford Harbor, believe it or not, has a little tiny crack in it, and every so often it decides that it's going to shake it a bit. But something as close as Maine or any of the New England states would show up quite large on our viewer.
Well, 18 years of tracking things over there at SeaLab, what do you think about the idea that people throw around that eventually the East Coast is due for something big? Does the data indicate that we've been experiencing more of these in recent years, or has this been kind of just par for the course?
It's just par for the course. We do not sit on a very large tectonic plate, so that the chance, it's not like California, all right? So the chances of us having a large one, I don't know what the percentages would be, but I don't think they're very large. I could always call BC and just email you and let you know. But the experts that we've been able here in New Bedford to have as part of our educational resources are Alan Kafka and John Ebel, and they're right out of BC, the Educational Seismology Program, and their interest is in letting our children or students throughout the world who are interested in seismic activity be part of this exercise by having seismographs in their building. And we in New Bedford are fortunate enough to have one here at SeaLab.
Well, I'm so glad that you called in and gave us that information. And sure, if you can send that screenshot, I would love that. Or just any photos too of the machine. I'd love to write up a little story and let people know.
Certainly, we'd be happy to do that.
Thank you so much, Simone.
You know, and I just wanted to say, Tim, that you're very gracious to all your guests, and you have a great sense of humor, and you are very polite and conscientious. And I'm not saying that to just have you say something nice about SeaLab or New Bedford Public Schools, but sometimes your patience is quite overwhelming, I can tell you. But thank you for taking my call and for being interested in what we do here at New Bedford Public Schools, which is very unusual for a public school department.
Well, thank you so much.
You're and welcome. Tell
all the kids I said hello.
I certainly will. We have we have a revolving groups of children that come through us during the academic year. We don't have a stable population, which sounds terrible to say, but every day we have a new school that visits with us, so that we do 8 lessons in different areas to all grade 5 students in New Bedford Public Schools, and we do 4 lessons to all grade 4 students in New Bedford Public Schools here at SeaLab.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for the call. You have a wonderful day.
Oh, you too. Thank you for listening.
Sorry. I was going to say, I will say something nice about C-Lab. It is amazing over there. If you've never been over there, I got the chance to go over and speak to the students last year, and I got a tour of the facility. And how lucky are we to have that here in New Bedford Public Schools? If you ever get the chance to go to an open house or any events that they do over there where you can see what goes on there, highly recommend it. And the kids, very engaged, learning some very important stuff. And I had no idea that they were learning seismology over there. So I definitely want to get a story out there and let people know about that. But right now, I've got to take a break. We'll be back in a few moments.
App.
And we will take more of your calls coming up. But right now, we're going to turn things over to Phil Devitt in the WBSM newsroom.
Firings at the U.S. Justice Department, egg prices on the rise, and a popular soda's new flavor.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
The Justice Department has fired over a dozen career prosecutors who worked on criminal investigations of President Trump, citing a lack of trust in their ability to implement the administration's agenda. The move, effective immediately, targets those involved in Special Counsel Jack Smith's investigations and comes amid broader reshuffling within the department. Acting Attorney General James McHenry defended the decision as part of efforts to end what he called the weaponization of government. The firings follow Trump's sweeping clemency for over 1,500 supporters charged in the January 6th Capitol riot. It remains unclear how many prosecutors were affected or plan to challenge the dismissals. Hundreds of thousands of Palestinians returned to northern Gaza after a 15-month blockade was lifted. This comes as Israel confirmed that 8 hostages held by Hamas are dead. Joyous crowds returned to their homes despite widespread destruction. The fragile ceasefire faces challenges, including a dispute over hostage releases. Israel and Hamas have agreed on a revised schedule, with the next phase of releases set for Thursday. Egg prices are skyrocketing due to a widespread bird flu outbreak. Millions of chickens have been culled, leading to severe supply shortages. The USDA predicts prices will climb another 20% this year. Consumers are facing empty shelves and paying significantly more, especially for organic and cage-free options. The outbreak proving difficult to contain, affecting not only egg production, but also the poultry and dairy industries. Farmers now implementing strict biosecurity measures, but the threat remains. An Indiana man who was just pardoned by President Trump for his role in the 2021 Capitol riot was fatally shot during a traffic stop. 42-year-old Matthew Huddle was killed Sunday by a sheriff's deputy during an altercation. Authorities said Huddle was armed at the time, but did not reveal what led to the stop. Huddle had been sentenced in 2023 for entering the Capitol during the January 6th riot and served 6 months in custody. The Alaska House has voted to urge President Trump to reconsider his decision to revert the name of North America's tallest peak back to Mount McKinley. The resolution, sponsored by a Democratic representative, emphasizes the historical and cultural significance of the indigenous name Denali, meaning the high one. Republican lawmakers attempted to attach an amendment expressing support for other Trump administration policies, which was ultimately unsuccessful. The vote comes despite ongoing efforts to change the name. And Coca-Cola is launching a new flavor, Orange Cream. The soda, blending cola with orange and vanilla, will hit shelves on February 10th in the U.S. and Canada. Follows the short-lived Coca-Cola Spiced, which was discontinued last year. The company is experimenting with new flavors to keep customers engaged, recognizing the need for faster innovation in today's market. Orange Cream will be available in regular and zero sugar varieties and is expected to remain on shelves until at least early 2026.
WBSM Sports.
The Boston Celtics lost to the Houston Rockets last night. The score 114-112. Home at TD Garden to play the Chicago Bulls on Wednesday night. And the Boston Bruins on the road. They hit the ice with the Buffalo Sabres tonight at 7.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Partly cloudy and windy for your Tuesday, a high of 36 degrees. On Wednesday, mostly cloudy, light snow possible, a high of 38. On Thursday, partly cloudy and a high of 30. And on Friday, mostly cloudy, warming up with a high of 41. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
You and me, we were the pretenders. We let it all slip away. In the end, what you don't surrender, well, the world just strips away. Girl, ain't no kindness in the face of strangers. We ain't gonna find no miracles here. Well, you can wait on your blessings, my darling. I got a deal for you right here. I ain't looking for prayers of pity. I ain't coming around searching for a crush. I just want someone to talk to and a little of that human touch. Just a little of that human touch.
And welcome back in. 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails, both available on the WBSM app. And remember, when you're sending in app chat messages, use the same language you would use on the air. I've had to block some people for the stupid stuff that they type. DSY, you're better than using that word. Don't use that word. But keep in mind, you know, I want to be able to just read it off the screen without having to read it ahead of time. I'm Ron Burgundy. Whatever you put on the paper, I'm just going to read it. So help me out by making sure it's radio-friendly what you're typing in there. I don't know if you saw the story that we have on the WBSM app and on the website, but the story went up yesterday, but it happened on Friday. Bill Belichick was on the South Coast. So you know that he is the new coach of the University of North Carolina football program. And actually, he only just signed his contract last week. So I don't know if they were still working out details or what. I don't know if he was holding out to see if any of the NFL jobs, if there was any NFL teams that were interested with him. I thought it was kind of interesting how he signed his contract after the Cowboys job was filled. But is it possible that he could still leave and go to an NFL team? Absolutely. And in fact, he has all kinds of clauses in his contract that would allow it. But for now, he's doing the work of recruiting players for UNC. And so he signed the contract on Wednesday. And by Friday, he was here Thursday and Friday, I believe, both days. He was here in Massachusetts meeting with players. My guess is he was probably at one of his homes here already and decided to start here. But who knows? As Barry has written about before, he has 7 houses here in Massachusetts. And now with $10 million a year salary from North Carolina, he might buy some more. But he was going to schools like Xaverian Brothers and some other, you know, these highly touted prep schools and Andover and Dedham and places like that. But then he also visited Tabor Academy in Marion. Now, Tabor Academy has had a couple of fantastic championship seasons. And they've got some players that have been highly scouted by a number of programs. And I know that Belichick made an offer to at least one player while he was there. But late last night, the coach of the Tabor Seawolves got back to me. And so I'm going to reach out to him and try to find out a little bit more information, just because, you know, Tabor Academy sports doesn't usually make it onto our radar. We write about all the public schools, and we have stories about, you know, Fairhaven going to the Super Bowl and all of these great teams that we've had over the years in our public schools. But for some reason, I don't think we pay as much attention to Tabor, and they've had back-to-back championship seasons. So it'd be interesting to get a little bit more info from the coach on not only who Belichick was interested in and how that all kind of came together, but what's Bill Belichick like when he's in recruiting mode for high school kids? I spent 20 years covering the Patriots. I know what he's like around professional football players, but those are grown men. I'm kind of fascinated by how his, because listen, the Bill Belichick that you've seen in press conferences and coaching games and, you know, the faces that he makes on the sideline and the contention that he's had with the media, that's not who Bill Belichick is. That's who Bill Belichick decided to be. In my personal kind of one-on-one experiences with him, he was not that guy. That's not the guy that used to send, you know, personal Christmas cards to certain members of the media. The Patriots send a Christmas card out to everybody that covers the team, and it's, you know, usually a pretty cool card. But Belichick had people he would send personal cards and personal messages to. Belichick showed up at Dan Pyor's funeral, and they shut everything down so that Belichick and Bob Kraft could come through and pay their respects to Dan. And Belichick, for the most part, you know, I didn't ask a lot of questions in 20 years of covering the team, of the coach. Usually in a press conference environment like that, I knew, first of all, other people were going to ask questions. But most of the time when I was in those pressers, I was waiting for them to open the door behind Belichick to go into the locker room, because I usually had to get some player quotes for a story that I was writing. Because the Belichick quotes would usually end up on a, you know, they'd send you an email with a full transcript. So I didn't need to sit around and wait and talk to him. And plus, I knew he wasn't really going to give me much. And I'm not looking to make a name for myself in the Boston sports media by getting into it with the coach of the Patriots after a game like some other writers did. So I didn't really have a lot of questions for him. But there was one training camp. I want to say it might have been 2009. There was one year where they had five running backs on the roster coming out of training camp. And I was writing a story about, you know, what was the running back group going to look like? And certainly they're not going to keep five running backs out of camp. Belichick's never kept five running backs. And so at the end of the last preseason press conference, nobody had asked about the running backs. I was like, well, I'm going to ask. So I raised my hand and I said, you know, Bill, got five running backs on the roster. Never seen you carry that many before. Do you envision a scenario where all five remain on the team during the course of the season and all five can play a role on the 53-man roster? And he gave me this long, detailed, excellent explanation as to each back and their strengths and how they all fit together and all this. It was really, really good. And he would be known to be effusive on answers to questions that were good football questions. He didn't care about the other stuff that was around it. But you get into the X's and O's stuff and give him a chance to talk about that, he would open up about that. And certainly he did in this case. Not that I could be in a football discussion with Bill Belichick, but it just so happened that, you know, my question piqued his interest, or, you know, piqued his ability to pontificate on it. And then afterwards, you know, what they do afterwards is there's like a little scrum after the press conference where a bunch of the writers will get up and try to ask some one-on-one questions so that they have something different that everybody else has. And I just happen to be trying to walk by that scrum to get into the locker room. And Belichick kind of stopped me and put his hand on my arm and said, hey, about time you asked a question. And by that point, I'd already been covering the team for, that was 09, and I've been there 7 years already. But he knew that in all that time, I had never asked a question. But that's the attention to detail that he had. He knew my name, even though, you know, we didn't really have a lot of interactions. And he knew who I worked for, and he knew everything that I'd written. The Patriots used to love to say, you know, we don't read what people say about us. We don't care what people say about us. We don't pay attention to any of that. Bull crap. They used to get a packet delivered to their lockers with clips every day of everything everybody had written about them. They knew everything people had written about them. And they some players probably chose not to read it, but I know a lot of them wrote it, and they knew, and they would bring it up. You know, well, what do you think about this? Oh, I don't listen to, you know, I don't read the papers. I don't read anything they said. But then the minute you wrote something about them, hey, I saw what you wrote about me. Wait, I thought you don't read the papers. So it was, they definitely read it, and they definitely knew, and they knew who everybody was. But yeah, that was my little glimpse into, my first glimpse into who Bill Belichick was as a person outside of, you know, the persona that he put on. And I'm sure that's who the kids got to meet at Tabor Academy. Let's see. Let me take a call here before we have to go to a break. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim. Gilly Saffiolis.
How you doing?
How you doing? I just want, Mary, keep talking. But let me run something by you. You know, you're going to try to set up Brian Gomes to come in the radio station and debate his problems.
Well,
right?
I'm not going to say. He said that he wanted to come on and do it. And Chris wants to have him have that opportunity, yes.
Okay. Well, I'm going to let everybody know first. He's not going to do it. Okay? He's not going to show up and go on that radio and say he's part of the story. I just want to let the people know that St. Luke's Hospital fired him for a reason. And, you know, he took it to court. If you remember, he took it to court. And he didn't have a lawyer that just got out of college to represent him. He had one of the best lawyers in the city, if not the top lawyer in the city, George Leontine.
Mm-hmm.
He represented him. He couldn't get his job back for him. So what is he going to do? I'm telling you, you've seen him lie before.
Did he want his job back?
Excuse me?
Did he want his job back?
He didn't even get no money out of it like the lady did to settle with the hospital thing. Come on. You know, Brian Gomes sometimes, no, most of the times, he talks out of his keister instead of his mouth because his mouth knows better. He's not going to come on your program, okay?
Well, it won't be on mine. It'll be on Chris's. But when he does, and I'll say, you know, save these challenges for when he comes in, because he'll gladly take your call.
I'm telling you, see, I'm the kind that puts my cards on the table first, and there's reasons why I say it, because like I said, I have pictures of him. So I don't want to hear anything about the people that know Brian Gomes out there, the so-called friends of his, and some of the police officers. They know what he does in the night when he says he's out taking care of the citizens. So that's all I got to say. But he's not going to come on your program. He had George Leontag, and George Leontag couldn't get him nothing.
All right. Well, I'll reiterate. It's going to happen on Chris's show, and we're gonna work on making it happen.
Well, you do, but he's going to look like a complete fool. Thank you.
All right. Have a good day. I got to take a break here. 508-996-0500. We will be right back. Welcome back in. So we are going to be talking in the next hour about the homeless situation in New Bedford. We're going to be joined by Danielle Brown of Stepping Stone, Inc. We're going to be talking about the point in time count that's going to be happening starting tomorrow. And we're going to talk about some of the programs that are in place to help with the homeless in New Bedford and beyond. And we're going to be talking about some of the I'm going to ask about, you know, what's the realistic possibility that if some of these motel rooms were used for housing and hotel rooms were used for housing migrants who are going to be deported, well, no matter how you may feel about that, could those be used for homeless folks? And would the public have an appetite for tax money going to that? That's what I heard for the last 4 years. We should be taking care of our homeless population first. So let's do that. And also, we can talk about some other things that you may have on your mind regarding homelessness. You can call in 508-996-0500. And you can also send in those app chat messages as well. Let me take my final break of this hour to make sure that we get it in. We'll be back in a few moments. And of course, that is the song that Scott Stapp wrote when he found out he was going to be a dad. And I'm playing that because congratulations to Fun 107's Gazelle, who announced that he and Mrs. Gazelle are expecting a baby boy. We've known about this for a little while, but, you know, they were waiting before they brought it to the public. So very exciting news. There's going to be a little baby gazelle running around. And I hope for the sake of Mrs. Gazelle that he grows into being taller than his dad. I hope that he, you know, it's a normal baby when he's born and then he can grow taller later. Because otherwise there's the possibility that that's going to be a very big baby. Anybody that knows Gazelle knows he is a very large man. And so very excited for them and very excited for the growth of their family. You can check it out at fun107.com. He has an article all about it where he shares the good news with everybody. But very exciting time for the Gazelles. And that's, I hope everybody knows that that's not his real name, but it is his real name. It's not just a radio nickname. It's a nickname he's had going all the way back to high school. So everybody knows him as Gazelle. And now there's going to be a little baby Gazelle on the way. All right, we're going to take a break for the news. When we come back on the other side, Danielle Brown is here. We're going to be talking about the homeless situation. We'll talk about the point in time count that's coming up. We'll take your questions and calls at 508-996-05.